It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Elizabeth Warren bows out. That is our top story at noon. The Massachusetts senator dropping her bid for the White House today after a poor showing on Super Tuesday.
Bernie Sanders told us that they had spoken over the phone about reassessing her campaign.
That's political analyst Christine Showman. James Freeman at the Wall Street Journal says it remains to be seen who Elizabeth Warren endorses.
I think maybe this is a situation where even though her policy agenda was similar to Sanders, she may be saying, like a lot of Democrats, I don't really think we should jump off that socialist cliff.
Freeman says Warren could hold off on endorsing a particular candidate for several weeks. President Trump tweeting today that the Massachusetts senator got out of the race too late, and it probably cost Bernie Sanders the nomination. Joe Biden, meantime, promising to keep things clean after his big win over Sanders Tuesday night.
What we can't let happen in the next few weeks is let this primary turn into a campaign of negative attacks.
For his part, Bernie Sanders has promised to concede the nomination to Joe Biden if the former VP has more delegates heading into this summer's Democratic National Convention.
If Biden walks into the convention or at the end of the process has more votes than me, he's the winner.
And that's true whether or not he has a majority or just a plurality.
Absolutely.
Sanders speaking to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC last night. Coronavirus scare. That is the other big story at noon.
People are scared. People are worried.
Yeah. The people are going crazy.
From Wall Street to Main Street, the coronavirus taking its toll. The market's way down again today after a rally yesterday.
What's clear is that there's no clarity.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know how far the virus will spread, and that uncertainty breeds a lot of fear in the marketplace.
Wall Street not the only place the coronavirus taking its toll. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency after a 71-year-old man on board a Princess cruise ship died from the virus. Passengers on that ship now stuck on board just off the coast of California.
We have a number of passengers and crew members that have developed symptoms on this cruise ship.
This passenger says it's best for everyone on board to just stay put.
I don't want to take it to my city if I happen to have it on my clothes or whatever. I don't even know.
11 people have now died from the coronavirus in the U.S., 10 of those in Washington State. Correspondent Cammie McCormick takes a closer look at the global response.
Thailand's postal service has begun disinfecting packages received from overseas. Iranian authorities are encouraging the public not to use paper money. The U.S. European Command has just announced it's canceling the remaining portion of its military exercises with Israel. And North Korea has threatened to shoot Chinese who approach its border.
That's correspondent Cammie McCormick. Concerns about the virus now forcing schools to close today in Seattle and New York City. In Texas, local Amazon employees have been told to work from home for the rest of the month. And in Washington, D.C., Congress poised to pass an $8 billion coronavirus spending bill.
A very, very small number in this country, because a lot of people will have this, and it's very mild.
President Trump says over time, the coronavirus scare will die down. Dr. David Agus teaches internal medicine at USC.
The CDC is not going out there and saying, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to triage. And so when there's indecision out there, we have these draconian measures where we're closing schools, putting states of emergency out there. My gut is over the next several weeks, that will die down as we know how to target what we do.
Agus says you could have the coronavirus and not even know it. The U.S. government, meantime, handing out 1.5 million coronavirus test kits all across the U.S. In a rare rebuke, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court blasting the top Democrat in Washington, John Roberts, says Chuck Schumer's comments yesterday at a pro-choice rally were dangerous and inappropriate. Schumer said that Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh would pay the price if they ruled against abortion rights.
You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
It's a disgrace that he was able to say something like that.
Last night on Fox News, President Trump condemned Schumer's remarks. The Senate minority leader made the comments outside the high court as the justices were hearing a case that could limit abortions in Louisiana.
To be threatening members that they better vote in one way is an extraordinary and reckless act.
That's legal analyst Jonathan Turley. Chuck Schumer says his comments were misconstrued. The New York Democrat apologizing on the floor of the U.S. Senate this morning, saying he used the wrong words. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
There is nothing to call this except a threat. And there's absolutely no question to whom it was directed.
Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley has introduced a measure to censure Senator Schumer over his comments. Officials say one of the twisters that tore through Tennessee this week was on the ground for more than 50 miles. This man's home in hard-hit Cookeville isn't there anymore.
Look, there's nothing. There's nothing but us. That's it.
At least 24 people killed when several tornadoes hit the state late Monday night. The cleanup could take years.
It's honestly life-changing to see something like this.
Kind of in survival mode of trying to get everything cleaned up and figure out how to rebuild from here, really.
President Trump will get a first-hand look at the devastation tomorrow. Still to come this Thursday, Trump in Scranton tonight testing for coronavirus in Rochester and covering up tattoos in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a pleasant day across much of the area now, but we do have a little snow on the way. We'll check forecast details heading into the weekend coming up. We'll see in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, March 5th. President Trump making his first trip to the Commonwealth this year tonight. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, the Commander-in-Chief will be in Scranton for an hour-long event hosted by Fox News. Scranton, of course, is the hometown of Democratic White House hopeful Joe Biden. Mr. Trump visited Pennsylvania 5 times last year. In 2016, he became the first Republican in 25 years to carry the Keystone State in a presidential election. No Democrat has won the White House without winning Pennsylvania since Harry S. Truman in 1948. Tonight's event on Fox News starts at 6:30 at the Scranton Cultural Center. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo calling for calm following 11 new cases of the coronavirus. It brings the total number of infected patients in the Empire State to 13.
We have a bigger problem, which is a fear pandemic. And the anxiety here is outpacing the reality of the situation.
All of the coronavirus cases downstate, but that could soon change. A patient now in isolation at Rochester General Hospital in Western New York.
We've been preparing for this. You know, it has never been a question of if, but rather when.
Mike Mendoza, the health commissioner in Monroe County, New York, he says they'll know by the end of the week whether or not Western New York will have its first case of coronavirus. Cracking down on coronavirus at the Canadian border. The U.S. now temporarily banning visitors from additional countries.
Toronto has 19 confirmed cases of coronavirus, COVID-19.
Erie County Executive Mark Poloncar says there are new restrictions at the border in Buffalo.
I know everyone is talking about the downstate cases, but we're 90 miles away as the crow flies from 19 cases.
The ban affects foreign nationals, including Canadians and those coming from Canada who've returned from Iran within 14 days of trying to enter the U.S. Two people dead after a fire last night happened in Reading, Pennsylvania. Firefighters say the victims tried to fight the blaze themselves before calling 911. 11 people in the home at the time. 5 firefighters also hurt battling that 2-alarm fire in Reading. Cracking down on commuters in the Commonwealth. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Pennsylvania highway officials have announced the start of a statewide automated work zone speed enforcement program. The initiative begins next week. It uses high-tech equipment to detect and record motorists exceeding posted work zone speed limits. Vehicle owners will receive a warning letter for a first offense, a $75 fine for a second, and a $150 fine for a third offense. Last year, 1,800 work zone crashes in Pennsylvania resulted in 24 fatalities. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. A pro-life group in Pennsylvania accuses Planned Parenthood of propping up the sex trafficking industry in the Commonwealth.
Sex traffickers and those who deal basically with human slavery for the sex traffic business need groups like Planned Parenthood to have abortions for the girls and women that are enslaved by the sex traffickers.
That's Michael Gear, president of the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
Loyola University in Chicago did a study on sex trafficking victims and found that they frequent Planned Parenthood for abortions and birth control devices regularly, and yet Planned Parenthood does nothing to report these people to the authorities.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf wants to give Planned Parenthood $3 million in taxpayer monies in this year's state budget. Christian school activists will converge on Albany next week. Dozens of school administrators, employees, and students will rally for their rights Tuesday, March 10th. They're concerned with new state mandates they claim threaten the survivability of Christian schools.
We do this each year, and typically around March, and that is simply to engage our lawmakers, our assemblymen and senators, in seeking, honestly, just to advocate for Christian schools.
Kerry Shaw is with Twin Tiers Christian Academy in Breezeport, New York.
There's hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to public schools each year, and more so each year. And we are simply there just advocating on behalf of our Christian schools for just a fraction of that.
The rally next Tuesday launches three straight weeks of Christian activism in Albany. The following Tuesday, March 17th, is the annual Legislative Day event. That's put on by New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Then in late March, homeschoolers will be marching for their rights in Albany. New York State lawmakers calling for more money to improve infrastructure in the Empire State.
$150 million increase in the CHIPS-based aid, which if the governor's budget goes through, will be flat for the eighth consecutive year. That can't happen.
Corning Assemblyman Phil Palmisano says there's a need for investment.
Taxpayers at home and around our communities deserve to have some of their state income tax dollars coming back to their local communities to fix their local roads, bridges, and culverts.
Now, the Corning Republican wants $65 million that was cut from this year's state budget restored. The spending plan is due April 1st in Albany. Pennsylvania state troopers have got to cover up their ink. Family Life's Terry Diener has more on the new police policy regarding tattoos.
State Police Commissioner Colonel Robert Avancic issued the special order that changes the department's policy surrounding tattoos. He said the policy change is a reflection of internal and external feedback and the evolving public perception regarding tattoos and other body modifications. He says department leadership recognized they were potentially missing out on a larger group of applicants because of the policy. At the same time, the commissioner said prospective cadets will have their tattoos reviewed by a screening committee prior to a appointment to the State Police Academy. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Philly on fire. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Hey, the ice is melting because the Flyers are hot. Scoring 3 in the second, 2 in the third. Cruised by the Capitals 5-2 in D.C. The Philadelphia Flyers have won 7 in a row. Kevin Hayes said stopping those Capital shots, the key.
I think I looked up at one point, they had 11 shots close to the end of the second, and that's it's an offensive team over there, and when you do that, it gives yourself the best chance to win.
Philadelphia now just 1 point out of first place in the Metro behind those Capitals. To the NBA, wow, the Grizzlies rolled by the Nets 118-79. Brooklyn lost for the fifth time in 6 games. At Madison Square Garden, the Jazz fought off the Knicks 112-104. In Cleveland, Jason Tatum had 32 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists. Celtics held off the Cavaliers 112-106. To college basketball, St. Bonaventure improves to 19-11 after knocking off St. Joseph's 89-73. Canisius crushes Marist 85-69. Siena big over Niagara 77-55. Robert Morris gets by St. Francis Brooklyn 59-58. Pitt falls to Georgia Tech 73-57. The coronavirus is now affecting college basketball in the U.S. Chicago State will not play Seattle U tonight or Utah Valley Saturday due to concerns about the virus. The Chicago State women slated to host Seattle and Utah Valley this week but are declining to play. UMKC will also not travel Saturday to its game in Seattle. And the office of Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says the Arnold Sports Festival will be closed to spectators Saturday because of fear of the coronavirus. Here's Arnold.
Listening to the governor's concern, to the mayor's concern,
that the CDC is concerned and all the expert scientists in the health community and the doctors. I think it was the right thing to do because we want to keep people safe.
That is Arnold Schwarzenegger. The festival typically draws over 200,000 fans to the Greater Columbus Convention Center to watch about 20,000 athletes. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, Elizabeth Warren drops out, Chuck Schumer under fire, and Nick Walenda does it again.
Though the effects of climate change are still up for debate, how our doomsday rhetoric is affecting our children is not. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet. This is Breakpoint. Doctors and other researchers have discovered a whole new class of psychiatric disorders among young people these days. They label it eco-anxiety, otherwise known as climate depression. Now, this isn't the first time we've suggested on Breakpoint that alarmist rhetoric over climate change is seriously affecting the way young people think and feel. And a recent article in the Washington Post magazine describes just how much. The article quotes an 18-year-old from Alabama who says that, "In my peer group, you just go right from talking about polar bears dying to, did you see what Maya posted on Snapchat? Nobody has a filter to adjust. It's like the ice caps are melting and my hypothetical children will never see them, but I also have a calculus test tomorrow." As the article makes clear, our rhetoric about climate change is particularly damaging to younger Americans who have fragile psyches. And I'm not using that description in any disparaging way. According to the National Institute of Health, one-third of all kids between the ages 13 and 18 experience an anxiety disorder. 27% of those in Gen Z rate their own mental health as fair or poor. 37% have seen a mental health professional. And when asked which current events stress them out most, climate change ranks third behind school shootings and suicides. Now, one obvious way for us to respond is by talking about current events more responsibly. While alarmists such as Greta Thunberg fill our screens and social media feeds, plenty of people who are concerned about climate change, including scientists, still agree that the kind of apocalyptic rhetoric we use to advance the issue is misleading and harmful. Kate Marvel, a NASA and Columbia University climate scientist, told the Post that the "we're all gonna die" message is just not supported by science. While Marvel is concerned about climate change and its impact, one can have a sense of optimism by working toward a solution. Unfortunately, Marvel's kind of voice fails to get the most attention in our news or social media, which is dominated by people telling us that we've got a dozen years before Earth reaches a tipping point and we're all doomed to possible extinction, a position, by the way, that no real climate scientist espouses. We should also help our kids become more resilient. In the book The Coddling of the American Mind, Jonathan Haidt and Greg Lukianoff describe how parents' attempts to promote their kids' emotional well-being often instead makes them more emotionally fragile. Demands for trigger warnings and safe spaces on college campuses are obvious examples of this fragility, but they're only the tip of a large iceberg. As Haidt and Lukianoff write, the combination of helicopter parenting, fears for children's safety, and the allure of screens has created a generation of fragile kids convinced that what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. And the allure of screens, that is social media, reinforces this fragility by isolating them from other people in ways that previous generations, even millennials, were not. And of course, social media is also the perfect vehicle for widely spreading distortion and misinformation, such as, "we're all going to die from climate change." So, while the arguments about climate change will undoubtedly continue, we can do something about climate change-induced emotional issues. Namely, let's be better parents. Let's protect our kids from harm, but not insist on removing every obstacle from their path. Let's limit their screen time and expose them to rational voices. But most importantly, let's make sure that we teach them that all things work together for good and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stonestreet.
20 minutes past the hour of the weekend, almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As the sky is clear to most areas for sunshine today, clouds will be returning tonight. This ahead of a small storm system. Small, the operative word, but one that will deliver some snow here and some wind tomorrow into tomorrow night. The incursion of winter won't last, though. It starts to turn warmer again beginning on Sunday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, for most, sunshine. High temperatures in the 40s. Clouding up tonight. Could be a little rain, snow mix late tonight, western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. The low in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. Cloudy tomorrow with periods of snow and some mixed rain in central and eastern Pennsylvania, with temperatures mostly in the 30s. Light accumulations for many, and that'll fade late Friday night. Skies clear for sunshine on Saturday.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Thursday, March 5th, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren ending her presidential campaign today. Warren dropping her bid after a poor performance on Super Tuesday. Fellow Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton.
Well, she brought a unique and distinct voice to this field, there's no question. But one thing that we hear across the country from literally every Democrat is we've got to get together to unify to beat Donald Trump and then unify this country again.
Democratic strategist Jessica Tarlov says she doesn't expect an Elizabeth Warren endorsement for quite a while.
I think it's too dangerous to come out and endorse for her right away like an Amy or a Pete did, who were very clearly in the same lane as Joe Biden.
President Trump tweeting today that Elizabeth Warren dropped out too late, and it probably cost Bernie Sanders the Democratic nomination. Passengers on a cruise ship off the coast of California being tested for the coronavirus after a 71-year-old man who'd been on board that ship died from the virus. Federal officials, meantime, say they're determined to get the upper hand.
You're trying to reduce and delay the biggest peak in the virus wave hit on the United States of America.
Ben Cuccinelli at the Department of Homeland Security. The markets, meantime, taking a nosedive again today because of the coronavirus.
Very hard to quantify what the fear pandemic is going to translate into real economic impact. And this is something that's clear, that we don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know how broad this pandemic could spread.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer under fire for making verbal threats towards Supreme Court justices. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The remark came as justices heard arguments over a Louisiana law aimed at limiting abortions. On the plaza outside, Chuck Schumer said he had his eye on the president's two Supreme Court appointments.
You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
In a rare release, Chief Justice John Roberts said threatening statements of this sort from the highest levels of government are not only inappropriate, they are dangerous.
Stephen Portnoy reporting. The massive cleanup effort underway in central Tennessee following this week's deadly tornadoes. At least 24 people killed late Monday night. This woman lives near Nashville.
They're kind of in survival mode of trying to get everything cleaned up and figure out how to rebuild from here, really.
President Trump will be in Nashville tomorrow to meet with first responders. Three people still are missing. Officials say one of those tornadoes was on the ground for more than 50 miles. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says long-term peace in war-torn Afghanistan, that's up to the Afghan people.
The signing of the U.S.-Taliban agreement in Doha, together with the realization of the U.S.-Afghan joint declaration in Kabul, laid the groundwork for the road ahead toward a lasting peace in Afghanistan.
Pompeo says the Taliban working diligently to reduce violence and a peace deal would pave the way for U.S. forces to leave Afghanistan over the next 14 months. History coming alive today, 250 years after the Boston Massacre.
The names of the five colonists killed on March 5th, 1770 were read out loud, followed by a 21-gun salute.
Fire.
Paula Pratt Rankus is with the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Colonists at the time were very frustrated with additional taxes being placed on them, and they were challenging the troops that were here, and the firing happened.
Their deaths led to the birth of our country. I'm James Rojas, Boston.
25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, ministry leader and author, Phil Waldrop. There are many things that can hinder our walk with Christ and other relationships. One of those is betrayal. Betrayal affects us on a really deep personal level. What is it about betrayal that makes it such a life-altering experience?
Well, betrayal shatters our trust. And when someone has betrayed you, you start thinking, well, if I didn't see this one coming, maybe there's another one coming. So you put a question mark over every relationship you have. And that's not healthy, because trust is the very essence and the main ingredient of a healthy relationship. And if we don't process our betrayal in a healthy way, we're going to end up having unhealthy relationships.
Phil, would you tell us a little bit about your own experience with betrayal?
Sure. 20 years ago, I was betrayed by a friend, a colleague, an employee, someone that I trusted and loved like my own brother, and never thought he would betray me. But he did some things that were not illegal, per se, but they were immoral and unethical, and had to leave our organization. But in the process of that, I was left shattered. I was affected emotionally, financially, spiritually. And I realize now, looking back, that there were some things that I did well and some things that I did not do well. And I wanted to be able to help people to process their betrayal, to give them hope that, you know what, you can get through the pain of your betrayal and come out on the other side happier and healthier than you were before the betrayal.
That is good news. You know, when we've been betrayed, we feel hurt. That's one of the first emotions. And then we also feel angry. And we know Jesus got angry, for example, with the money changers at the temple. What are some healthy ways that we can express anger?
When you've gone through a betrayal, you do go through a state of shock and denial, but you do get angry. You may not act on it physically, but inwardly, you're angry. And you can also reach a point where you become bitter and revengeful if you're not careful. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, we could be angry and sin not. God gave us anger as a way to initiate change. But when you've gone through a betrayal, if you do not process your anger in a healthy way, then you're going to have some unhealthy things happen. And one of the ways that I did it was I took out paper and pencil, and I literally wrote what I was feeling. I even wrote what I wanted to do. I knew I would never act on it, but I vented my anger on paper. By venting my anger on paper, I was then able to shred it, get rid of it. The reason why that was healthy is it allowed me to express my anger, but I did not harm people or other relationships as I was expressing the anger that I felt.
That's huge. Phil, resentment often creeps in when someone has been betrayed. How does isolation play into the whole resentment factor?
When you go through a betrayal, you're hurting, and you immediately think, I never want to experience this pain again. So we isolate ourselves, or as I like to express it, we begin to build a wall around our heart. Because if we don't let people in, we think, then we can never be betrayed and we can never be hurt. But if you build a wall high enough to keep people out and to keep pain out, you built a wall high enough to keep love from getting in. If God did not want us to have relationships, He would have made millions of islands and give every one of us our own private island away from everyone else. But He didn't do that. He made us for relationships.
For your book, Beyond Betrayal, you really dug deeply into Scripture. What would you say are some of the best Scriptures you found for moving beyond broken trust?
Initially, I studied so many of the Bible characters who went through betrayal, not just Jesus with Judas, which is an excellent example on how to handle a betrayal, but Joseph in the Old Testament was another one. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was betrayed by his boss's wife, who falsely accused him. Then I realized, too, that I needed to be reminded of my worth to the Lord. Instead of listening to what the betrayer said, I had to listen to what God said. Passages like "You're fearfully and wonderfully made," verses that reminded me of how God has a plan for me and how much He loves me. All of those scriptures together reinforced what I needed to hear, which was contrary to what the betrayer was telling me and what the devil was telling me.
That's great. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners, Phil?
I want people to know that there is life beyond a betrayal. And remember, when the Japanese culture, when a piece of pottery was broken, they didn't throw it away, they repaired it. But in order for that to work, they had to make an epoxy with something that included gold. And the pieces of pottery from the Japanese culture that's over 100 years old, that has been repaired with that epoxy is worth more than a piece of pottery that's never been broken. So if today you're shattered and you're broken, I want you to know if you'll let God's love put your life back together, you will come out on the other side healthier and happier than you've ever been, and you can get beyond betrayal.
That's Christian Conference leader Phil Waldrop. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As the skies clear to most areas for sunshine today, clouds will be returning tonight. This ahead of a small storm system. Small, the operative word, but one that will deliver some snow here and some wind tomorrow into tomorrow night. The incursion of winter won't last, though. It starts to turn warmer again beginning on Sunday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, for most, sunshine. High temperatures in the 40s. Clouding up tonight. Could be a little rain snow mix late tonight, western New York and northwest Pennsylvania. The low in the upper 20s to the mid-30s. Cloudy tomorrow with periods of snow and some mixed rain in central and eastern Pennsylvania, with temperatures mostly in the 30s. Light accumulations for many. And that'll fade late Friday night. Skies clear for sunshine on Saturday.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noontime, off the wire and into the history books, daredevil Nick Wallenda doing it again, the man who's walked on a tightrope across Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, Times Square. He finished his latest feat last night.
And there he goes, running across.
Wallenda walking on a tightrope high above an active volcano in Nicaragua. Here he was on ABC last night. He was nearing the end of that historic walk.
And death was defeated.
There he goes, Wallenda, wearing a gas mask to help him deal with the intense heat, the poisonous gases, and molten lava as he traversed that tightrope from high above an active volcano. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.